Okay, welcome everybody. This is Brother James. If you're listening online or you're here with me, thanks for taking time to gather together, go over God's Word, God's truth. Today we have something a little bit different. Instead of doing a teaching, instead of doing a verse-by-verse, today we're going to cover something I think is really interesting and is pertinent to today's world. If you're out there witnessing to people, or you know people of faith, you may run into people like this. So today I had a saint email me an email from a woman who is in the Hebrew Roots movement. And again, I thought it'd be a good chance to go over her email, some of the key points, use God's Word, and to help us all refute it, understand these things. Now, if you're listening in and you don't know what Hebrew Roots movement is, well, I call it a cult. And the reason I call it a cult is they really downplay the new covenant, the blood of Christ, born again, walking in the new covenant. And they go back and they teach you that you have to go back and keep the 613 ceremonial Torah laws that was given to the nation of Israel to really follow after Jesus Christ. And they teach this, they twist God's Word, they make up doctrine, they really basically slander Paul, sometimes Peter, and twist things like you're going to see here, to their demise. And it's very sad. And so we want to go over this. I've got lots of articles on the teaching blog. I'll talk about that a little bit later. We want to go over this point by point, and so we can see their heresy and not be swept away by it. I hope you can hear. I'm doing this from the van in a parking lot. And some motorcycles just went by. Okay, so let's get started. I'm just going to read from this email. I'm going to kind of cherry pick from it. She goes in and she says, thank you very much, this lady who sent this to this saint that we know. Tells us she was baptized in a Baptist church in 1996. And she said she started attending a Bible Institute, a Christian school. And one semester she took a class on church history. And she started to see how anti-Semitic the early church history was, and they left the road, the narrow road from the Messiah, and began following another gospel. So that's her email. So let me go to my point here. First point, while it is true that the early centuries fell away from the biblical faith, and then Roman Catholics later totally corrupted it, this is a fact. In the Hebrew Roots movement, all right, they are very good at leading women away first. I always call it kind of a Eve with Satan situation. We have met so many out in the streets preaching, and when I ask the men, well, how'd you get involved in this? And I would say 75 to 80% of the times they look at me and say, well, my wife. And it's usually met somebody, started going to church, started taking classes. So the Hebrew Roots movement is very popular with the women. They do a lot of things that are very sentimental, emotional. They do dancing. They like to wear all kinds of adorned things, a lot of feasting. It's a lot of things that women that are keepers at home, which should be, you know, good at those things, they get drawn into culture, socialization with each other, parties and gatherings and festivals. So the women get drawn into this is my main point. So the first thing this lady says, she started going to a school and she started learning about this, apparently, even before her husband. And again, the reason I call them a cult is most of them leave the blood of Christ, the crucifixion of Christ, and they go backwards and focus on Torah-keeping ways, the 613 laws that was given to the nation of Israel. So let's go back to her words on the email. This I'm going to read, quote, they removed themselves from the Hebrew olive tree of Israel, of which Paul says believers are grafted into, Romans 11, where we then cease to be Gentiles, Ephesians 2, but instead become Hebrew Israelites, part of the commonwealth of Israel, end of quotes. So, this is key. She says, Paul says we cease to be Gentiles and we become Hebrew Israelites, part of the commonwealth of Israel. This is a total twisting of the truth of God's word. All right, in Romans 11, we're going to read it here. Paul is talking about the olive tree is the Abrahamic promise that was given. This is not the Torah 613 law that the Hebrews people focus on. Because today, this is key, today we cannot keep Torah law. I'll say it again. Today we cannot fully, I'll add the word fully, keep Torah law. There's no priesthood, there's no temple, there's no sacrifices, we're not in the land. And Torah law was built around that. And so that's a key point when we're talking about Hebrew roots. So moving on to Romans 11, where she says that Paul says we're grafted in, cease to be Gentile. So we're going to read Romans 11 here, starting with verse 1. Let me start over again. I had my type here messed up. Starting with verse 1. I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid, for I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham and the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people from which he foreknew. Wot yo not what the scripture saith of Elias, how he maketh intercession for God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed my prophets, dug down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved for myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. I love that verse. Even so then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then there is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more of grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. Verse 8. And according as written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that should not see and ears that should not hear unto this day. And David saith, let their table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and recompense upon them. Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see and bow down their back away always. And I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather through their fall, salvation has come unto the Gentiles. This is a key point here. To provoke them to jealousy. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak unto you, Gentiles. Notice Paul calls them Gentiles. If you recall, she said, we're no longer Gentiles. Inasmuch as I'm apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office. Verse 14. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might have some of them. Verse 15. For if the casting of the away of them be reconciled to the world, what shall the receiving of them be life from the dead? For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy, and if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches are broken off, and thou art being a wild olive tree, wert grafted in among them, and with them partaketh of the root and the fatness of the olive tree. So here he's talking about Israel being grafted into the olive tree. That's the promise, the Abrahamic promise, okay? Ultimately, Christ is our olive tree, he's our root, okay? But this is talking about the Abrahamic promise. Verse 18, boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. I'm having trouble reading today. I apologize. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off. He's talking about Israel. And thou standest by faith, but not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, that's the Hebrews, take heed lest he also... lest he also spare not thee. That's the Gentiles. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell severity, but today the goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou shalt also be cut off. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. For if thou were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to the nature into the good olive tree, How much more shall these, which be natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? This whole saying here is just talking about the Gentiles and the Hebrews being brought together. This is a key here. Verse 25, for I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of the mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. This is talking about the Gentiles coming in. And so all Israel shall be saved as it is written. There shall come out of Zion the Deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. For the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. For as ye in times past have not believed God, ye have now obtained mercy through their unbelief. Even so have these also not believed, that through your mercy they also might obtain mercy. So I wanted to read that whole thing to give you context. We don't become Hebrew Israelites. We become grafted into Christ and the Abrahamic promise, the Jew and the Gentile. This is key right here. Ready? They become the body of Christ. There's one body. And the Hebrew roots people rarely ever tell you there's one body of Christ. And we're going to prove that in this email. So again, Paul doesn't say you're no longer a Gentile. He's talking about the grafting in. To be a Hebrew was a blood Hebrew. We can be spiritual Israel. We can be the spiritual house of God. We start mincing with words there a little bit, yes. But to say that we're no longer Gentiles, and that Paul was saying that, is disingenuous. Now moving on to Ephesians 2, all right? Let's read this again to give you context. Starting with verse 1. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in sins, in trespasses and sins, wherein times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of our flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, had quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. He hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in high places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come we might show the exceeding riches of his grace, and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace ye are saved through faith, that, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That's that famous verse everybody loves to quote and pull out of context. Now, verse 10, here comes a key part. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. All right, here, 11 through 12. Wherefore remember, and I need to say, remember, she said that you're no longer a Gentile. This is key. Wherefore remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcised by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of the promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Now let's back up right there. So that's talking about the Israelites had the Abrahamic promise. The Gentiles were on the outside. The only way they could get it back then, they had to actually go and join the Hebrews, and they could do that. God allowed them to. And at that time, keep Torah law, keep the Torah ways. But here Paul is saying, you were cut off. You didn't have no hope. You didn't have the promise. You were separated from the commonwealth of Israel, because that was the apple of God's eye at the time. But verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes afar off are now made nigh by the blood of Christ Jesus. Not by Torah law, not by becoming a Hebrew, by the blood of Jesus. This is key. The focus needs to be the blood of Christ, the new life in Christ. That's the new covenant. Verse 14, for he is our peace, who hath made us one body, hath broken down the middle wall of the partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in the ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace." Here's the whole point of reading that in context. One body, by the blood, the partition gone. Not Hebrew, not Gentiles, one body brought together. The Hebrew roots people don't teach this. That's disingenuous to say. Paul says you're no longer a Gentile, that you're now part of the Commonwealth of Israel. Again, I'll say it. We can say we're spiritual Israel because God's brought us both together, but we no longer keep, we can't keep the 613 Torah laws. So let's finish up Ephesians 2, starting with verse 16. "That he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross," not by Torah law, "having slain the enmity thereof." Right? One body, that's very key. 17. "And came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh," that was the Gentiles. "For through him we have access to one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers, no more foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints of the household of God." We are now, folks, if we're born of God, we are citizens of the household of God. Isn't that beautiful? Not citizens of Torah keeping, 613 laws and going backwards. No, going forward in the new covenant, one body, household of God. Let's finish up Ephesians 2, verse 20 through 22. "And ye are built upon the foundation of the apostles," the prophets, "Jesus Christ himself being the cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple of the Lord, in whom you also are built up together for the habitation of God through the Spirit." So sometime go back and read Romans 11, read Ephesians 2. You'll see how Hebrew roots, right there they lie, that you're no longer Gentile. You have to become part of the Commonwealth of Israel and keep Torah law. That's not what it's teaching. God took the Hebrews who were not believing and were disobedient, the Gentiles who never had any hope, and God brought them together in Christ Jesus to make one New Testament body. How beautiful is that? So let's go on now, and I'm going to read a part of her email right here. Quote, "The early church fathers, Constantine, Martin Luther, the popes, all rejected this. Part of their new religion included establishing a new feast day such as Sunday and Easter and Christmas. These are all pagan and rooted and have nothing to do with Jesus or God. So all this being said, we have a choice to make. Search out his word for what truth really is, or continue in this false root called Christianity," end quote. Okay, so of course anybody who knows what Brother James teaches and what we teach at DontPerish.com, we're against, yeah, Martin Luther, the popes, Sunday as the Lord's Day, Christmas, Easter. Hebrew roots people have that right, that is pagan, but so do the Mormons have that right, so do Jehovah's Witnesses have that right in many cases. Mormons sometimes not. What they have wrong is, again, not focusing on the new Christ's blood and crucifixion and his defeating death. And here, she said that, to not continue in this false root called Christianity. False root, folks? Let me read to you Acts 11, verse 26, right from the Holy Scriptures. "And when we had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that the whole year they assembled themselves with the body and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch." Did you catch that? She smeared the name Christian because it's not part of their Hebrew roots faith system. But the Bible tells us they were called Christians. Folks, what's a Christian? Go look it up. It's a Christ follower. It's exactly what Jesus said we have to be. We must become followers of him as Paul taught. Paul said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." But yet the Hebrew roots people smear the name Christian. Totally unbiblical. And Acts 11:26 really exposes that. So let's go back to her email. Quote, "We choose the true, and this led us to first to Messiah, who says he and the Father are one." In Hebrew, edak, meaning one in thoughts. In Matthew 5, Jesus himself says he did not come to do away one jot or tittle of the word. His fulfilling, Greek, plethoru, means fulfill. In other words, he came to show us how to keep it correctly. End of quote. Okay, so this is another big key. They like to say that Jesus came and he didn't do away with the Old Testament Torah law, that he showed us how to keep it and how to do it. Well, this is again scripture twisting. They're masters, like false teachers are, false religious groups. They're masters at twisting scripture, using some scripture, making it sound right and good, twisting it just enough. Again, you're going to hear me echo this all through this teaching. We can't keep 613 Torah laws today. There's no temple. There's no priesthood. There's no sacrifices. We're not in the Holy Land. It's true, Jesus lived out the Torah perfectly. Why? So he could be our perfect Lamb of God. Remember, they always needed a lamb sacrifice. John the Baptist said, "There he is, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." He came to shed his blood, all right? And sometimes they'll focus on that a little bit, but it's usually just to woo evangelical people into their clutches, okay? They really don't preach this, live by this. They say it once in a while, but in my experience, it's like a placebo or just putting a little bit on top. They really don't focus on the death, burial, resurrection, shed blood of Jesus Christ. So Jesus came to die and shed his blood for us. He came to resurrect and defeat death. They rarely talk about that. He came to finish the Old Testament ways and promises to bring us a new covenant. And we're going to see they even twist that new covenant. They twist it to make their theology work better for them. So let's go back to that Greek word plethoru. It really means to complete. That's what it means. And it is exactly what Jesus meant when he said in John 19:28 through 30, "It is finished." He fulfilled and finished that part of God's Old Testament covenant to be the perfect Lamb of God for us. As Paul said, we read it earlier, taking down the partition. We'll read some other verses that show what he did to the Old Testament law versus the new. Hebrew roots, here you go, you just saw it. They say, oh no, he just came to show us how to live it correctly. You can't live it correctly. You don't have a temple, you don't have a priesthood, you don't sacrifice animals, you're not living in the Holy Land. James says, you break one of them, you've broken them all. This is a very key point. Most of them, and I'm going to say this a couple times in this teaching, most of them are not Torah keepers. I call them Torah dabblers, meaning they keep a few of the Torah laws. They don't hold to all of Torah. Why? They know they can't. And it's also very cumbersome to keep all of them, even the ones they could keep. I've never met one keeping all of the ones they can keep. They usually grab 10, 20, 30 of them, keep the ones that are kind of fun and really cool to keep. And then the rest of them, they go, well, you do the best you can. No, you don't do the best you can with God's law if you believe it's still in play. You keep it completely. And this is the problem with the Hebrew roots. They do not do that. So let's go back to her email. Let's read another section. Quote, "The Pharisees distorted, twisted, and added to the law of God. They twisted, added additions that no one could keep, and what Paul and Peter called a burden, dung, and a yoke upon their necks. Paul calls God's word holy, righteous, and true, to be upheld, not chucked away." End of quotes. All right, this is perhaps her worst bold-faced lie. I have to say it that way. Twisting of Paul and Peter's words. Let's go right to Philippians 3. What does Paul tell us in Philippians 3? Let's read it, okay? "For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I have more." Here it is, verse 5. "Circumcised on the eighth day." Let's stop right there. Was that Torah law? Yeah, it was. "Stock of Israel." Was that about Torah? Yes, it was. "The tribe of Benjamin." Was that one of the 12 tribes of Israel and part of Torah? Yes, it was. "A Hebrew of Hebrews." Does that point to Torah law, the Hebrews? Yes, it does. "As touching the law, a Pharisee." Now this one, someone could argue, the Pharisees added rules like she said. Paul was a Pharisee. They clung mostly to Torah. They did add a few things in here and there. But that's not what Paul's talking about here. Verse 6, concerning zeal, he persecuted the church, he says. Touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. So go back and read 5 and 6. Paul is exactly talking about Torah, not talking about what the Pharisees added and a bunch of rules that couldn't be kept as dung. No, Paul is talking exactly about everything he learned about Torah. Verse 7, but what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. Verse 8, here it is. Yea, doubtless, I count all things. Did you catch that, folks? All things, but loss. For the excellency of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that's animal manure if you don't know that, that I may win Christ. Notice twice he says all things for Christ. I think Torah law would fall under all things, knowing that Paul was a Torah keeper. Does that not make sense? So right there we disproved her idea that Paul says what the Pharisees added to the word was dung. No, Paul says the old law compared to knowing Christ is dung. Go read it and you wrestle with God about that. Hebrew root keepers and anybody that wants to challenge that. It's exactly what God's word says. All right. So let's go to what she says about Peter. That Peter said that the Pharisees added rules and put burdens on people's necks. Well, let's go read Acts 15. Let's start at, I think it's verse 5. But there rose a certain, there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them. Let's stop right there. Folks, is circumcision part of Torah law? Yes, it was. And to command them to keep the law of Moses. Folks, was the law of Moses part of Torah law in the 1613? Yep, it was. It was. Peter tells us, or that verse tells us, what they were commanding the Gentiles to do. To be circumcised and to keep the law of Moses, which is what the Hebrew roots people tell you you have to keep today. Let's see what the disciples say about this. Verse 6, and the apostles and elders came together to consider this matter. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, ye know how that a good while ago God made a choice among us that the Gentiles by mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. There's that grafting in. We just read about it, right? Verse 8. And God which knoweth their hearts bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost even as he did unto us. That was pretty astounding to the Hebrews. What? The Gentiles are getting in? You can't be serious. Verse 9. And put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Wait a minute. You're a Hebrew keeping 613 laws. God turns to the Gentiles and goes, you can get in by faith now. And Peter says, no difference. Isn't that interesting? There's another dagger in the heart of the Hebrew root faith. Verse 10. This is key. Now wherefore, why tempt ye God? Put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear. He's not talking about added on Pharisaical laws. He's talking about the Torah law. Clearly, in context, that's what he's talking about. Verse 11, but we believe that through this grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. Not by Torah keeping, by faith and grace. And then we're going to get to what law we keep today. We're not lawless. We're not lawless people if you're listening in, Hebrew Roots people. We're not lawless, and I'm going to show that to you. Notice in Galatians 2, I have a note here. Notice in the book of Galatians chapter 2, Peter is living just like a Gentile, eating and acting like them, not a Jew, not a Torah keeper. And as soon as the Jews show up, he jumps back to Torah keeping ways to keep good face with them. Paul rebukes him for corrupting the gospel. Go read Galatians 2. Peter, a man who was a Hebrew, and knew all 613, was not keeping them, was set free by the gospel and faith and the blood of Christ, and Paul had to rebuke him when he tried to run back to the Jews And I believe it says even that area Barnabas was almost led astray as well. So let's go back to Ephesians 2. Or I'm sorry, Acts 15, verse 12. Then all the multitude kept silent and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonder God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. And after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, Men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simon hath declared how God at first did visit the Gentiles to take them out of a people for his name. There's that grafting in. And to this agree the word of the prophets as it is written, After this I will return, and I will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down, and will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles, upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. Notice they called them Gentiles. Verse 18, Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Wherefore my sentence is, that we trouble them not, from which among the Gentiles have turned to God. Called them Gentiles again. They've turned to God. He says, trouble them not. From what? Verse 20. But we write unto them that they abstain from pollutions of idols, from fornication, from things strangled, and from blood. So he's giving them some guidelines. Verse 24 is key. For as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your soul. That would mean you'd lose your soul if you believe what they said. Saying, you must be circumcised. Folks, was circumcision part of Torah 613 laws for Israel? Yes, it was. James is saying the Gentiles were told they got to be circumcised and keep the law. This verse right here. To whom we gave no such commandment. Go back and read Acts 15, verse 24. The disciples did not teach the Gentiles that they had to keep Torah law and be circumcised. Another dagger in the heart of Hebrew root theology. I hope you see that. Go back and read Acts 15, get the whole context. So let's switch back to her email. Quote, The only thing not done at this time are sacrifices, because Jesus is our sacrifice, and we repent through his blood, and because there is no more temple. End of quote. I want you to notice here, Hebrew roots people always quickly toss out the temple, toss out the priesthood, toss out the sacrifices, and they say, but everything else is still in play. The entire system of the Old Testament was built on those core principles. Again, I have to say, you cannot keep Torah law, the 613, without those things in place. Paul the Apostle never taught the Gentiles to keep Torah law. We just read it. They weren't commanded to keep it. He never taught them to keep the Saturday Sabbath. He never taught them to keep the festivals. Now, in fact, this is why Hebrew roots people, they don't like Paul. Paul was not keeping Torah himself in the pages of the New Testament scriptures. How do we know this? In 1 Corinthians 11, Paul is keeping the Lord's Supper with the New Testament body in Corinth, not Passover. All right, go read 1 Corinthians 11. Famous head covering chapter at the second half is the Lord's Supper. Also, in Galatians 3, Paul tells us he didn't go to Jerusalem for 3 years. Hello, Torah law says all males had to go to Jerusalem 3 times a year. Paul, Pharisee of Pharisees, the ex-Pharisee, Hebrew of Hebrews, he didn't go to Jerusalem for 3 years for the festivals. Galatians 3 says, Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them that which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned unto Damascus. Verse 18, Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. So Paul was not even keeping the Torah law as they say it needs to be kept. It's another dagger in Hebrew root theology. Paul goes on all through his teachings to teach us the difference between the old and the new and how we're not bound by that. We're going to read a verse about that in the end. So back to her email. Quote, You say you obey the renewed covenant laws. End of quote. So she was commenting that this saint said she keeps the new covenant. You notice the word renewed? This is a big Hebrew root strategy, they don't like new covenant. They won't use the term new covenant. They say it's renewed. It's renewed. It's not a new covenant. Well, they're wrong, because go read Matthew 26, where Jesus gives us the Lord's Supper, and he gives us a new testament, a new covenant. The word is kainos. It means new, all right? And God brought us a new covenant. New commands in the New Testament, yep. He still gives us and holds us to the moral law of the Ten Commandments, yep. There's some pre-Israel Torah law things like marriage, how we're to dress ourselves. God covered that in Genesis 3. Marriage is covered in Genesis 1 and 2. So some things are still in play for us today, but not that which was given to Israel under Torah law, that ceremonial law. So they like to say the renewed covenant. No, it's a new covenant. All right, that is a key. Whenever you hear somebody say renewed, go back to the New Testament, look at those words. You'll see every time the word new is used, it means new. It's a new covenant. And again, I'm going to read some verses from Paul in Hebrews that really highlights that for us. Go back to her email. Quote, because of your faith, this is what I started to do in Genesis forward, which are the laws Jesus said he did do away with. Why? Because the laws in the Bible just isn't a book of rules, but a wedding book for the bride. The Holy Spirit is our betrothal gift, Acts 2, from the groom, and through the Holy Spirit we are able to obey the very laws God himself says are not hard to keep. End of quote. Okay, here she uses a little bit of truth and twisting and stretching, and then she twists to get her point. We can't keep Torah law today. The Holy Spirit didn't come to help us keep the Torah law because we can't keep Torah law. The Holy Spirit came to teach us how to walk in the new covenant and enable us in the new. That's what the new was all about, getting the Holy Spirit within us to walk in his ways. No temple, no priesthood, no sacrifices. We're not in the Holy Land. Do I sound repetitious? I am, because you can't keep Torah law today the way they tell you that you can. They're Torah dabblers. They're not Torah keepers. But we can keep the new covenant. And we're going to go over that a little bit as we go on. She talks about the bride. Yes, Christ is coming for his bride. But what's the bride of Christ? It's the body of Christ. It's the New Testament body of Christ. In Matthew 24, we'll read that verse in a little bit. He talks about his elect. So she stretches the truth here, twists it, adds in some words that the Bible doesn't really say, talking about a wedding book for the bride, and the Holy Spirit is our betrothal gift. The Holy Spirit is our down payment. It says that in Ephesians. I don't know about our Holy Spirit as a betrothal gift. Again, twisting, stretching the words there. Let's go back to her email. Quote, it's not that people can't keep them. They don't want to keep them. Even if we focus on just the Ten Commandments for the wedding contract, which one of the ten can't be kept? None. People just refuse to keep them because it cramps their style, inferring with their wants, desires, etc. I could go on. End of quote. Okay, so here I agree with her that God's law, people don't like. Even it was Old Testament, the Israelites didn't like it and they rebelled against it. Whether it's the New Covenant. But again, you can't keep the 613 Torah ways. I can promise you, she does not keep all of the ones that apply to her. All 613 don't apply to her. I can promise you her husband can't keep all 613 that apply to him. Going to Jerusalem 3 times a year. Here's one. Not sitting on a piece of furniture after a female was bleeding for her menstrual cycle. You're unclean if you sit on the couch where she sat. Are they keeping that? How about stoning to death rebellious children? How about executing sodomites and false teachers, etc., etc.? We don't and we can't keep Torah law today. It was ceremonial law. Moses said it was given to us, not our fathers. But what we can keep is the 10 moral commandments and the new covenant and some things given before Torah law, like I talked about, marriage, dress, some of the things God ordained in the beginning. All right? And as I bring up the Ten Commandments, I need to say this. The Sabbath rest is one of the Ten Commandments. Christ is our Sabbath rest now. Go read Hebrews chapter 4. He was the Lord of the Sabbath. He is our Sabbath rest. Paul trained by Jesus, never taught the Gentiles to keep Saturday Sabbath. All right? That was part of the old covenant given to Israel. You can gather on Saturday if you want today. No one's stopping you. But we're not commanded to keep it, and it's not part of the new covenant for us today. So this woman, she may be well-meaning, and we care very much about her and her husband. I don't know her at all. But she's using the Torah root ways, scripture twisting, to justify a false faith system. And most times, I don't know all the details of her faith, most time Hebrew roots, I would classify them as a cult because they demean the blood. They push down the death, burial, and resurrection. They lift up the old covenant ways and they discount the new, right? And that's very, very key. So to sum it up, we obey... This is her word. I thought this was my note. This is her word. Quote, to sum it up, we obey Torah because of our faith in the living Torah Messiah, Yeshua Jesus, who died because people were disobeying it. So he gave us help in the Holy Spirit to keep it because we are his bride. End of quote. Again, scripture twisting, a little bit of truth in there. Jesus didn't come because people weren't keeping Torah. Precisely. Jesus came because no one could keep Torah perfectly, that there was a sin problem, and he needed to be our perfect Lamb of God. He also had to come and defeat Satan and death for us, because they're both coming for us, death mostly, coming for us, Satan the enemy. He came to defeat that at the resurrection. To say that he came to help us live out Torah law, that's not true, because we can't keep Torah law today. I keep saying that. No temple, no priesthood, no sacrifices, no holy land. They ignore the blood for the sin covering. And Hebrews 9:22 tells us, without the shedding of the blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. This was key. It's why Jesus came. One of the key reasons he came. Back to her email. Quote, in order to be a pure, spotless bride, at his return means walking in faith and obedience, Revelation 22:14. For only the bride and the groom enter into the bridal chamber called the New Jerusalem. It's all about a holy groom and a faithful, obedient bride. Now, we agree the body of Christ should strive. Paul talks about being pure. We absolutely should be that. But it can't be by keeping Torah law, because we can't keep Torah law today. We're not called to keep Torah law today. Paul, trained by Jesus, never taught the Gentiles to keep Torah law. We just read Acts 15. They were told they did not have to keep Torah law. What we're keeping is the moral law, the Ten Commandments, Christ as our Sabbath rest, the commandments given in the New Testament to us, some things given before Torah law, like I keep saying, marriage, biblical dress. But as for the 613 given to Israel, not for us today, we can't keep them. Today we're under the law of Christ. Galatians 6:2, Paul talks about that. So, to be a spotless bride, absolutely. You cannot keep Torah law and be spotless. So how can you be the spotless bride? You know how we get to be spotless, folks? Since none of us are perfect, none of us walk in perfection even today, we keep striving in the new covenant. We repent when we sin. Christ keeps cleansing us, as 1 John says, and we're purified and made pure because of that. Our hearts are pure. Our motives are pure. Our actions are pure. When we fall in sin, we need to repent and be purified and cleansed. That's how we're a pure bride. Not trying to keep 613 laws that you cannot keep today. I want to be clear on that. So going back to her email, quote, John calls sinlessness, meaning breaking Torah, not keeping it. When Jesus said all Torah hangs on two commandments, love God, love your neighbor, he's referring to the Ten Commandments or the wedding contract, which speaks of how to please God. No idolatry, spiritual adultery, etc. Both of these point to the very laws in the Torah that teach us how to do these two very things. Well, the problem here is, again, you can't keep Torah. Keep saying it. Much of the Old Testament was archetypes pointing to Jesus. The ark Noah made pointed to Jesus. The sheep that were sacrificed pointed to Jesus. All right? The people that were unclean because of death or menstrual cycles or illness or leprosy or whatever Jesus came and cleansed us and washed us and made us clean. This is what Hebrew roots people miss. They go backwards when they're to be going forward into the new. We do hold to the moral law, the Ten Commandments. We're not lawless, as I've said. But we can't keep 613 ceremonial laws given to nation of Israel in the land with a priesthood, eventually with a temple. We can't do that here in America, all right? The Hebrew roots people dabble in Torah. They don't keep it. We've met hundreds of them. When asked, hey, which ones are you keeping, which ones can't you keep? They always tell me, oh, you just try to do your best. That's not what the Word of God said about Old Testament law. What happened in Old Testament law when you didn't exactly keep the law of God perfectly? In many cases, you were stoned to death. Remember the guy picking up sticks on Saturday? He was stoned to death. Today, Paul says, what do we do with false teachers and those that break the commandments of God? We rebuke them. False teachers we avoid. We don't stone them to death. And we call them to repentance, to the saving of their soul, as James says in chapter 5. What happened to stoning people as they break the law of God if we're still under Torah law? No, it doesn't make any sense. They never have an answer for that either. So it's another dagger in the heart of Torah keeping for today. I could go on and talk about a whole bunch of things. I got lots of articles at don'tperish.com on the teaching blog that covers so much of this. Let's go back to your email. Quote, I could go on, but realize that since the second century, we've been lied to and led astray. The Bible has been misinterpreted and twisted to cause believers to think there are two brides, Israel and a church, and that the law and instruction for holy living has been done away with when they have not. As Paul says, there's only one baptism, one faith, one God established in the beginning that his son restored on the cross. End of quote. You notice how she didn't say there's one body. In Matthew 16:18, Jesus tells Peter, I will build my body, King James, it says the word church, I don't like the word church, on this rock, on the truth of God. The church is the body. The body of Christ is the bride of Christ. You notice they don't mention that. I haven't met any Hebrew root people that mention the body of Christ. They're always taking you back to Torah, to Torah, to Torah. Back to her email. Quote, the renewal of the wedding covenant established on Mount Sinai between him and Israel and all those grafted into this one family through his blood, of which I'm a part. Hope this helps explain it all. If you have any questions about what I've said here, don't hesitate to ask. End of quote. Again, notice she says renewal. All right. Earlier in her email, she said renewal several times. And this is a new covenant. All right. It's not a renewal. Paul tells us it's new. How do I know this? Let's go to Hebrews 7. Hebrews 7. I think it's verse 12. For the priesthood being changed, there is made a necessity, a change also of the law. For he whom these things are spoken of pertaineth to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance to the altar. Let's skip to chapter 8. I think it's starting in verse 6 through 13. And now he hath obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established with better promises. He's talking about the new. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then there should be no place have sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he saith, behold, the day shall come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant, not a renewed, a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand and led them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind, I will write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be my people. Verse 13, in that he saith a new covenant, not renewed, he hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. Hebrew roots people do not like the book of Hebrews. They try to twist it and say it's not what it says. It doesn't mean that. They can't get out of it, folks. To be very clear, we cannot keep 613 Torah laws today. It was for the nation of Israel headed into the land or in the land with a priesthood, with a temple, with sacrifices. Again, I'll say it. Hebrew roots always tell me, oh, you're lawless then. We are not lawless. We keep the moral law given to us in the Ten Commandments. Christ is our Sabbath rest. We hold to marriage. We hold the biblical dress given at creation. We hold to that. And then there's there's commandments given to us in the New Testament. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14, he was given the commandments of God. And some examples would be the Lord's Supper, head covering, okay? How the body gathers, the gospel we preach. These are all commandments. How we sing now with our lips, not instruments, in our hearts. These are commandments given in the New Testament. So we're not a lawless people as Christians. Yeah, I'm going to use that word because we're Christians. We're following Christ. We are not lawless. We have the law that has been given to us in the New Covenant, knowing we're not in Israel. For the 27th time, we can't keep 613 Torah laws. God has not done away with the nation of Israel, though. I want to be clear. God's not done away with Israel. No. He will have plans for Israel as a nation in the future. We know that if we read forward in Scripture. But for the bride, the body, he's coming. Matthew 24:31. Jesus said, and he shall send his angels with a great sound of the trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. That's who he's coming for. He's coming for his elect, the body of Christ. Yes, God's going to deal with the nation of Israel. He's not done with them yet. But Paul never taught the Gentiles to keep Torah. He did not, here's one, he did not teach them to be circumcised. This was a real linchpin in all of Torah law, to be circumcised. Galatians 6, let me read it to you, 12 through 16, Paul says, as many desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they suffer persecution from the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law. Hold on. So they're like the Hebrew roots people today. They're not even keeping the law, telling people to keep the law. I got it. But desire to have you circumcised that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:17, we're made new, we're born again by the Spirit, washed in his blood. You don't hear that from Hebrew roots people very often either. Verse 16, and as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. See, we can be the Israel of God because God has favor on us. We're part of that original Abrahamic covenant because by faith, we've been grafted into Christ. Isn't that beautiful? I love that. Well said, Brother Paul. So today, as we're closing this out, we're walking in the new as taught by Paul, who was trained, handpicked by Jesus Christ himself in Acts 9. Paul never taught Sabbath to the Gentiles, never taught Torah keeping, never taught festival keeping to Gentiles, yet Jesus handpicked him and trained him. You need to walk away and think about that. How can this be possible? It's not possible. Because we're not to keep the laws that were instituted for the nation of Israel. Now, I covered that whole email pretty much point by point, all the key points. And closing this out, I just want to give you a real quick, brief history about Hebrew roots. It's a relatively new thing. Quick history lesson. Ellen White started the Seventh-day Adventist false cult in the 1800s. Out of that group, in the early 1900s, came a man called Herbert Armstrong, Worldwide Church of God. He kept some Torah ways, not like Hebrew roots. Then, in the, I think the 50s, 60s, sometime around then, they split up. His son took a group. They split up and they splintered, and they splintered into a whole bunch of different groups. And in about the mid-80s, 1990, a magazine came out called Hebrew Roots. And that is really the beginning of this whole Torah-keeping Hebrew root movement. It's very recent. It's spawned out of cults. And here's a couple key factors. I already told you that they key on women a lot. Yep. Here's another one. Because they were spawned in the 90s, you know what they became very good at? Internet advertising, internet solicitation, internet teachings. They were one of the main false cults that came up at the time the internet came up. And they are all over the internet more than almost anybody else. This is how they're growing by leaps and bounds. What happens is, this is what happens. People leave Roman Catholicism, evangelicalism, and instead of running to the middle of the road in the truth where God's word is, they run across the road and they run in the ditch of Hebrew roots. That's really what's happening. They run from the paganism, which they should. They run right into false heresy of keeping a false gospel. Paul says, Galatians 1, 2 Corinthians 11, you keep a false gospel, you're accursed. False Jesus, false spirit, false gospel. This is what the Hebrew roots people are keeping and teaching. And there's many different groups, so it's hard for me to categorize them all the same. But in general, that's what most of them are keeping. And I want to mention this too. We have found, amazingly, many of them are worldly and carnal still. They watch TV, they go to sports. Many of them dress very worldly, have worldly interests, worldly hobbies, spend their money worldly. But they're supposed to be set apart, holy, Torah keeping? None of this makes any sense. Most of the reason that happens, these people are not born again by the Spirit of God. I cannot say that I've ever met a born again, Spirit filled Hebrew root keeper that strives to want to know the truth. They're all brainwashed into this cult. They're following Torah ways. They have no interest in the Spirit of God, the truth of God, the new life, the new creation, born again. Nope. They want to do their fun festivals. Many of them drink and get drunk and say it's okay. Yep, I have teachings on that. Some of the teachers say you can get drunk at the festivals and it's just fine. It's a wicked, wicked group in many cases. So that's one of the problems. They run from denominations. They run into the other ditches. So closing this out again, don't be deceived by them. I have many articles. Go to don'tperish.com. Most of you know about the teaching blog. Look up Hebrew Roots Exposed. Look them up. Study them. I've got articles on the Sabbath. I have an article where I went through and listed all 613 of the Torah laws. Go look it up. Not all of them apply to everybody. Some apply to women. Some apply to priests. Some apply to men. But you see that it's not part of the New Testament we're keeping today, as clearly taught by Paul and taught by the apostles and the disciples. We're to walk in the new covenant, keeping the moral law, keeping what God ordained at creation, keeping the new covenant gospel, how the New Testament body gathers, not going backwards into Hebrew roots, keeping something that we cannot keep, that I read to you, Paul said was done away, ready to fade away, because the new has come. So, hope that helps you. Be on alert. If you see people walking around with head coverings and they maybe have a little bit of adornment on, men with long beards, sometimes they can look biblical. Sometimes they look just different. Be on alert. Generally, if they start using the term Yeshua, then they start talking about festivals, things like that. That's your Hebrew roots. Don't be swept up in them. Let us know how we can help you. Reach out to them. I'm going to reach out through this saint to this husband and wife. Hopefully they'll heed, they'll test some of their theology, and they'll come to a true saving knowledge of the risen Savior, cleansed by His blood, made new by His Spirit, walking in the new covenant that, praise God, today we saints can fully keep to honor our God. So I'm going to leave it right there. Thanks for everybody listening in. Till next time, all you saints, hold fast to the blood of Christ. Let us know how we can help you in the faith. Until next time, Brother James always says, may God be praised.